you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. He's above it all. He's over it all, and in Him we live, we move, we have our being, we exist for this window and this season on the earth, for such a time as this, for His purposes, His plan, His good pleasure. And the need that each and every one of us has is to be on His page. Because, you know, ultimately, whatever happens with people in their life, whatever their status is as such in the eyes of the world, or in the eyes of other people, doesn't matter. Whatever their role is, whatever their responsibilities, ultimately, it is our Lord Most High, Yahushua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. It is our Heavenly Father who's the one that gives the yes or no on our life, the approval or the disapproval. He's the one that ultimately we give an account to when we're done here. And, you know, the world will always try to distract us all over the place and try to get us caught up with the opinions and the thoughts of man. But really, the only person that you need to ever concern yourself with truly is your Father in heaven. What did God tell us? He said, don't fear those that can kill the body, but after that, that's it. Fear Him who has the power after the body's dead to cast your soul into hell. That's the one you should fear. And this is the truth, because ultimately, you know, all of us are checking out of this life at some point. And when we do, it is on the other side of this is where you and I will ultimately have to give an account. Now, in that process and in that place, one of the things that we also end up facing while we're here, though, is what's called a battle for your consciousness, a battle for your thought process, a battle for your mind. Now, listen, the enemy of your soul works very hard to try to get an inroads into your consciousness, into your mind, into your thought process. And the reason for that is because he needs you to co-create the prison of the world and the world system. See, when the fall took place, one of the things that ended up happening was that the enemy usurped man and woman's position on the earth by their free will consent. And once their free will consent was given to that usurping of their position as children of the living God, and they gave themselves over to that, to the world and to the world system, then what the enemy ended up doing was through them creating the prison, through them creating the world. See, anything that is detached from the vine is like a branch that's broken off and just withers and dies. And there's nothing good that can happen with that except for it to be thrown into the fire and to be burned. This is what Jesus talked about in John 15. Now, so when the enemy was broken off and lost his place, his habitation in heaven, his you know, that place, he needed to create, and he needed to get life from somewhere. So now there's no creative power in the enemy. The enemy cannot create in and of himself because he doesn't have that flow of life in him. So where does he have to get that creative power from? Well, those that are the fathers, those that belong to him, those that have the spirit of the living God in them, those that are, and what he does is he gets them to give their free will consent over. Now, if you've ever seen a tree that gets cut down, or even a branch that gets cut down, or say flowers, if you've ever given flowers to somebody, well, once it's cut off, it doesn't immediately just dry up right away. There's still some life flowing through that, but it's lost connection with the source. And you can cut a branch from a tree and it can still be growing a bit, but that's based on the life that was still flowing at the point when it was cut off. But then it just starts to, as a little bit of time goes on, then it's not drawing any more new life, and so then it withers and it dies. That's why the flowers wither and die. And so there's certain things that people will even do with flowers when, you know, they buy flowers for somebody, put certain things in the water or certain things to try to keep them alive for a little bit longer, to try to keep them fresh for a little bit longer. But ultimately, you know, they run their course. Now, what does the enemy do? The enemy seeks to get the free will consent of men and women to bow their knee before that spiritual kingdom, before that prince of the power of the air, in exchange for something in the world, and to turn your back on the lordship of Jesus Christ, to turn your back on the living God. And the enemy needs you to do that, but he can't override your free will. So he works to get your free will consent into that. And then once you've been given over to that, then out of you and your labors and your spiritual energy and all of that, that's where the enemy then creates the world and the world system. And the trap and the prison. And what does he use that to do? What is then created is a better trap, is a bigger system, is a better enslaving mechanism to capture the next ones that come up. So it's continued to expand. It's continued to grow. The enemy does not like to lose a single soul here. And that's why, you know, you see the offer that Jesus was given in Luke chapter 4, all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. Well, why? Because the offers kept escalating, and ultimately the enemy knew if Jesus would bow his knee, that soul would not leave. That soul could not get out, because now he would have been given over. And even if he gave him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, all the wealth of the world and all of that, but spiritually he would have had him. And yeah, you know, Jesus would have had his chance to run around the track and to be the top of the pyramid, but always underneath the prince of the power of the air, if he would have done that. And that's why Jesus, also seeing through that, knowing that trick and that snare of the enemy, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve." You will only worship him. You will only be as a child of the living God under the lordship of your heavenly Father. That's it. There is no, so under that place, now here's the thing. Under that place of the lordship of your heavenly Father, you are able to walk out. You've been given power. And you've greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. So you have power. Even if the world will try to tell you something else, will try to convince you of something else, you have to know that the greater power is in you. The problem I think that a lot of people have had is that they've believed the lie, because they've been told that so many times. They believe the lie. They believe the deception, because so many times that's been pushed on them. So again and again and again and again, you hear that deception, you hear that lie, and at some point it starts to stick, and then people just start to believe it, but it's not true. That's why Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you." Actually, it's not Jesus, it was Paul, but it's in the scriptures in the New Testament. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." You know, as higher as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. You want his thoughts. You want his thinking. You want his mind. Because when you have that, you now know how to navigate through this world. So for you, for I, we want to navigate through our window and our paradigm in the earth. But why not navigate through this time here in truth? In the reality of who you really are, in God's purpose, in God's plan, loosed to serve the living God and to do what he wants you to do while you're here. Here's another piece to this too. If you are being led by the Spirit of God, this creative power of God is in you. And if you are not being given over to the world and the world system to create their prison, and instead, you are being led by the Spirit of God, now what are you creating? Because that creative power is still flowing through you. And that is what gets really incredible. That's what gets really fun. And that is the place where, okay, now God is leading you. God is guiding you. God is quickening you. What are you going to do with that? What is he leading you to do with that? Okay, so for over the years, the faith mix. This is something that God has led us to do. And we are, in every sense, a ragtag operation. It's just a few brothers in Christ that just put this together and get this out there as the Spirit of God leads us. And we do all these things freely we receive, freely we give. So we put it out there as the Spirit of God will quicken us to be exactly what God wants it to be. And that's it. But that being the case, as we have been led by the Spirit of God and this has gone forward, it is created. And it is created and strengthened and done wonderful, amazing things in the world, in the earth. And we're excited about that. Now, that's just a small thing, but in God's plan and purpose, it's part of what He's doing. But it's just, listen, your success is in the obedience. So first, you want to be on God's page. And this means bowing your knee before the King of Kings, allowing Him to lead and guide you. And you need that no man should teach you, because the Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. So you just need to be led and taught by the Holy Spirit. And from that, when God leads you and guides you, then He will flow through you to create. Now, when you create, create as unto the Lord. Do all things as unto the Lord. And let it be. Here's the thing. You don't have to worry about the result. Now, the world is going to do everything it can to bludgeon you, to bludgeon your results, to hold them down, to push them aside, to speak evil and ill against you. That's just what the world does. And you know what? Listen, if I was on the enemy's side, if I was on the enemy's side, I would do the same thing. But I'm not on the enemy's side. But I would do the same thing to one of God's, because it's dangerous if one of God's kids get free. It's dangerous if one of God's kids get loose. It's dangerous if one of God's children come into positions of strength or power or prominence or recognition, because it sets people free. Because that light shines bright and people see and know there's another way. So for the child of God, when they move forward in the truth, that is the place where freedom is possible. And others see and recognize that freedom that's there. And it, for freedom, God has set us free. And He came to set the captives free. So as people see, wait, there's another way, then they start being quickened. They start being quickened to trust the Lord for themselves, not based on somebody's words or somebody's trying to convince them, but just because they see and they know and they understand, and God will speak to a person's heart, and very often through another person just living the truth. And they will see and recognize, and they know, okay, their God is God. There's a truth that's there. There's something real that's there. And they may not be able to put their finger on it, but they know it's real. Now you, brother, you, sister in Christ, let the Lord create through you. Let Him work through you. Let Him have His will and His way through you. That is the prayer that we're taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're taught to pray that. You yield your will, you yield your being, you yield whatever it is that you would desire unto Him, and you're praying, Father, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That we're taught to pray that, because what it does is it's you of your free will yielding your will to the Father's will. And in that respecting of your free will, but now you're choosing His Lordship, and God reciprocates and flows through you because you've made that choice, and He's honoring that choice, and He's allowing you to experience and know His truth and His direction. If you're asking for God to speak to you, He'll speak to you. If He's calling out to you and He's quickening you and you respond and you say, Lord God, lead and guide me, He will lead and guide you. Now, there is a window, too, where if people continue to turn their hearts away from Him, that there's going to be a time, and oftentimes it's times of trouble and tribulation, where they might go look for Him but they won't find him. See, the thing is he's still Lord, and that means that everything happens on his terms. So just because he's calling out to you today does not mean that the option will be there tomorrow. There's a lot of people that I knew people that just would talk to me, and literally they would say, you know what, they would just say, okay, they just want to kind of do whatever they're going to do in the world. And then on their deathbed, they want to, their plan was, you know, just to say some prayer and then just kind of squeak in. And listen, you don't know what's going to happen in this life. You don't know. And you know, God is, he's the one that calls and he's the one that draws. So our hope and our prayer is that people would respond to the call and the drawing of the Holy Spirit while he quickens them. But no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. But if you harden your heart when he's calling you, then, you know, that is your window, and you don't know if you'll have another chance. You don't. So seek him while he may be found. Seek the Spirit of God while he's calling out to you, and meet him in that place. And if you choose to ignore it, it's to your own detriment. Now, we're seeing a lot of object lessons of this in front and center today in many things that are going on around the world, where there are many that have chosen to reject truth and are beginning to show, even in themselves and their own lives, overtly, the consequences for rejecting truth, the consequences for rejecting Christ, the consequences for rejecting God and his plan, his way, his kingdom. See, listen, the scriptures, when it talks about in Daniel chapter 3 that and the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of the statue that was destroyed. Actually, it might be a little bit further than that in the book of Daniel. But that statue that was destroyed, it was pulverized, and there was nothing left of it. So, you know, there's this piece where the whole thing grew, you know, it's became this huge system, but when what God brought forth, when that hit that statue and it was crushed into nothing, you know, I want to find this one really quick. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image. The great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Break them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and the strength and glory. And whosoever the children of the men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heavens hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the miry clay, thou shalt mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to others, to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that stone, that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So, okay. So now, I want to keep reading. Verse 46. Okay. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of the truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Okay. In this scripture, there's something very important to understand. That God, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, has that happened yet? Has those world systems, kingdoms, all of that, have that been broken in pieces yet? No, it hasn't. Not like that. God has been doing something, and God is doing something. And part of what God is bringing to pass on the earth is His kingdom is coming, and His will is being done. And to not understand that is to miss part of what God is doing with us being here. Listen, the spirit of Elijah goes before to prepare the way, right? For the kingdom. For the king. For his lordship, his rule. So for you and I that are here at such a time as this, we're here to prepare. We're advanced infantry. We're advanced special ops in the body of Christ. You're here for a purpose. You're here to prepare the way. We're not here on vacation. We're not here for a good time. You know, yeah, there's some experiences we have while we're here, but we're here because the Father would have us to be here for a purpose, because we are preparing that way for what He's doing on the earth. And one of the things that He's doing right now is shaking everything that can be shaken. One of the things that happens when you see that the iron and the gold in verse 35, then the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broke into pieces together, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. I mean, my gosh. There was no place found for them. There was nothing left of them. They were completely destroyed. Already right now you see the world and the world system just shaking and trembling and struggling under its own weight, mind you. Just for the consequences of its own actions. And like we've said before, we're just getting started. It comes to the point where there's nothing left. It comes to the point that light floods in and there's no place left. And the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth. So that's part of what we are here for. That's part of what we are on God's page for. Here, in the earth at such a time as this. Now, how that manifests in the physical and the natural and the spiritual and all of that, that's up to God. But He's given us enough to know that we create in line with His Spirit, and all that He's doing through us is in line with His plan, His purpose on earth at such a time as this. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Your work and your labors are not in vain. Your time in the earth has purpose and eternal significance. And you need to be encouraged in the truth, knowing that He that began that good work in you is going to carry it on to completion, and He knows what He's doing with you. He knows what He's doing with me. He knows what He is doing with us. And you just got to listen and don't fall for the distractions of the world, because all they're trying to do is brainwash you into something else. They're trying to get you to forget your identity, trying to get you to forget your assignment, trying to get you to forget the reason for which God brought you into the earth. Let the Spirit of God lead and guide you. Jesus spent time before the Father in prayer. He spent time in the Word. He spent time in the temple studying and reading. And He spent time. He let God reveal and clarify and sharpen all of that. So when the time came for Him to go forward in His mission and His assignment in the earth, it was powerful for that 3.5 years. Until the time came that He, of His own free will and His own accord, chose to lay down His life. No one took it from Him. He laid it down of His own accord, only to take it back up again. And we've been given that same ability, that same charge in Christ Jesus. So we go forward and we lay down our lives of our own accord for the purpose and the reason that God has put us in the earth. So let God reveal these things. Remember who you are in Christ and carry on and persist. All right, God bless you guys. Hey, 20 on 20 is coming up really soon. So, if you guys pray with us on that day, by all means, we're praying every 20th for 20 minutes with our buddy Zeph out there in New Mexico, and Trish and all the wonderful people. And there's tons of people coming in just online that pray live with us. And then it goes out as a podcast, and it goes out to a whole lot more people all over the world. And yeah, every time it just keeps growing, and we see the impacts of just a little bit of time in prayer together, deliberately focusing our intent, our faith, our volition towards the kingdom of God in just one area, in one respect. We're attacking the taproot of the kingdom of the enemy when we pray like that. So, by all means, join us in prayer, and let's pray. Let's continue to pray for God's work to happen in this area and for the kingdom to come and for these things. Jesus Christ came to set the captives free, so we're praying for that. We're praying for the alignment of that which takes place on earth to be aligned with His Spirit and His intention and His will for His people on the earth. So in Jesus' name, we just continue to pray, and to pray for each and every one of you guys out there too. God bless you. Join us for 20 on 20, and we will talk to you guys again really soon.